It is so very good to see all of you that are here this evening. If you have been here the last Sunday evenings, then you know that I'm in the middle of a series of lessons on the Lord's Supper. The first lesson, actually, was to try to show you the Old Testament background for the Lord's Supper from over in Exodus chapter 12, and how the Lord's Passover is a foreshadowing of the coming Lord's Supper under the New Covenant. And then I did a sermon last week on the Lord's Supper, at the Lord's table, on the Lord's day, to try to help us understand the individual, congregational, and universal aspects of the Lord's Supper. Now, that was just the introduction. Now we're going to study the Lord's Supper. Tonight, we're really going to dive into the Lord's Supper itself. We're going to start over here in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. This is when Jesus is instituting the Lord's Supper. And again, remember the timing of this. The next day, he's going to be crucified. That night, he's going to be betrayed. That night, the events in the Garden of Gethsemane are going to take place. And the next day, he's going to be beaten, scourged, crucified. And so before this event happens, the day before, over in Jerusalem, when they're celebrating the Lord's Passover, Jesus says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" When Jesus is talking about my body here, he's talking about his physical flesh and blood body that is going to be sacrificed the next day on the cross at Calvary. 1 Corinthians, speaking about this in chapter 11, verse 23-24, Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, I want you to see the body he's talking about here is not the church. The body he's talking about here is the body that's going to be broken for us. The body that is going to be scourged, the body that's going to be beaten, the body that's going to be nailed to the cross. It's over in the book of 1 Timothy where the Lord, speaking through the Apostle Paul, tells us, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." One of the great mysteries of godliness is that God himself, the creator of the universe, was manifest in the flesh. And it is that flesh and blood body that we're talking about here, that body that's going to be broken for us the next day, that is going to happen. We're supposed to be doing the Lord's Supper in remembrance of that event, remembering the body of Jesus that was beaten, the body of Jesus that was scourged, the body of Jesus that was crucified and nailed to the cross. Going further in Hebrews now, chapter 10 and 5 through 6. "Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me.'" I want to bring something to your attention before I go any further. Did you notice that in partaking of the Lord's Supper this morning, as David Faith was leading it, he went over to Hebrews to talk about the Lord's Supper. And tonight when he was talking about the Lord's Supper again, where'd you go again? You went to Hebrews. What I'm trying to help you see is one of the main texts that deals with the Lord's Supper is the book of Hebrews. Because the book of Hebrews is the book that tells us about the new covenant. And when you're going to be seeing later on, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, what is the blood? It's the blood of the new covenant. And so here we are in Hebrews 10, by the way, just making a simple observation. Hebrews 10, verses 5 and 6 is the same Hebrews 10 we have, verse 25. "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together." What I'm trying to bring to your attention is that assembly in verse 25 is for taking the Lord's Supper. And here in the same chapter, it is talking about the body of Christ that was being given as a sacrifice for us. Again, Hebrews 10, verse 10 now. "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Again, the body is the body of Christ, not the church. I'm trying to nail something down here because sometimes people take the phrase "discerning the Lord's body" in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians to be the church. Wrong, wrong, again, wrong. We're supposed to be discerning the body of Christ, that was broken for us, the body of Christ that sanctifies us. Look at the word sanctified. We're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The word sanctified means set apart. It is the idea of being separated. What is taking place is a separation from those that are lost and those that are saved. From those whom the wrath of God is going to come upon to those whose salvation is going to come upon. You are being separated from the lost, separated from the spiritual dead, separated from those going to hell. And you're sanctified and set apart now as those that are holy, those that are pure, those that are sanctified, those that are going to go to heaven. You and I were sanctified by the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. One sacrifice at Calvary. Going further now, we're now back to 1 Corinthians 11 and 29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What body are we talking about? The body that was broken for us. The body of Jesus. God was manifest in the flesh, that body. When you're taking the Lord's Supper, you need to be focusing your mind on the body of Jesus Christ when you're partaking of the bread. Not focusing on the church. If you want to think about the church, that's fine. But you understand the body of Christ here that we're supposed to be discerning is the body that was nailed to the cross. The body that was beaten, the body that was broken. Now let's talk about that for a moment. Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. There's a big word that we use for this. It's called propitiation. The propitiation is the idea of an individual receiving the punishment that I deserve. We have all sinned. We all deserve to go to hell. If we get what we deserve, we'll go to hell. God does not want that for you. He does not want you forever separated from him. He understood the only way you could have any hope of being with him in heaven was going to be Christ crucified. By having a propitiation, an individual who would take your punishment upon himself. Notice how many times it talks about it here. With his wounds, he's going to be wounded. It's going to be for our transgressions. Not what he's done wrong, what we've done wrong. He's going to be bruised. Not because of anything he's done, it's because of our iniquities. He's going to be scourged. He's going to receive stripes. And it's so that we can be spiritually healed. All of that he's going through here is talking about the physical things coming upon the body of Jesus and why it's going to happen to him. Isaiah again in 52 and verse 14 says, And just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. When the text tells us that Pilate had Jesus scourged, I got a question for you. Who's driving all of this? Satan. To what degree do you think the Romans beat him and scourged him? They scourged him, and God says here in the text here that he was marred more than any man. They shredded his body, folks. Blood was going everywhere. That's why he could not carry the cross. He had already shed so much blood in the scourging. That's why he died so quickly, folks. Every stripe that came upon the body of Jesus because I messed up, because I sinned, and God didn't want me to go to hell. He allowed every stripe upon his body, all the shredding of his flesh, he allowed every second of it because he loves me. He didn't want me to go to hell. If you don't get anything from the sermon, get that. That's how much you are loved by God. That's how much Jesus loves you. He loved you so much, he allowed this to happen to himself. In Matthew 26 again, verses 27 through 28, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Focus on verse 28, if you will. I want you to get two things from the verse. First of all, the blood of the new covenant, because we're going to be going, spending a whole section on that. And then second of all, the blood that is shed for many for the remission of sins. Going back to John 19, now verses 1 through 2. Then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. As I've told you, folks, his visage was marred more than any man. There's blood everywhere. And then it simply says in John 19, they crucified him. When you crucify an individual, there were many different methods that they had, but their most torturing form of crucifixion involved being nailed to a cross. Sometimes they would tie you to it, but the more torturing form of it was to nail you through your hands and your feet to the wood itself. You see, the reason for this is because every time a person takes a breath, they have to pull themselves up by the spikes and push themselves up by the spikes driven through their feet and hands. You think about how many times you take a breath in 1 minute, in an hour. For 6 hours, Jesus hung on that cross. For 6 hours, he pulled himself up by the spikes and pushed himself up by the spikes. And again, you got to remember, folks, he's already been scourged more than anyone ever has. There's blood, folks, everywhere. Blood through his hands, blood through his feet, blood coming out of all parts of his body, blood out of his head, blood out of everywhere. John 19, again, 34. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Why? Why is this happening? Again, I come back to the same answer. It's my fault. Because I sinned. And I deserve to go to hell. And God doesn't want that for me. And he doesn't want that for you. And he doesn't want it so much so, he loves you so much, he was willing to give the sacrifice so you would not go to hell, so the wrath of God would not come upon you, so he could sanctify you and separate you from all of those who are going to hell. Jesus went through all of this because he loves you. The Lord's Supper is a remembrance of that sacrifice and the love of God crying out to all mankind that will resonate till he comes again, saying, "I love you." Going back to Hebrews now, chapter 8 and verse 6. This is the text I think you were talking about. He is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. We're talking about the blood of the new covenant. We live underneath a covenant between ourselves and God. Jesus is the mediator of this covenant, and it talks about it being a better covenant. Continuing in Hebrews chapter 9, it says, "And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant." We are not living under the old covenant, the Old Testament. We are Gentiles, as far as all I know about all of us. The old covenant between God and the children of Israel. We are under the new covenant between God and all mankind. And it is a better covenant. And Jesus is the mediator of this new covenant. Going now back to Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 through 20. "For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives." The new testament, the new covenant, for it to be brought into force, You had to have the death of the testator, who is Jesus, the mediator Jesus, died so that we could be under this new covenant and bring it into force. Continuing in verse 18, therefore, even the first covenant was dedicated without blood, or not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. So again, what I'm trying to focus your mind on here, where are we reading about all this new covenant? Hebrews. Hebrews 8. Hebrews 9. This is talking about the first covenant. This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. So he goes further now and he says, for if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. What was the problem of the first covenant? He says there was a fault with it. I can tell you what the fault with it was, folks. It's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Here's the problem right there. You see, sin is what separates us from God. Sin is what has got to be forgiven. Sin is what has got to be washed away. And it's not possible that the blood of an animal could take away the sin of a human being. That's why we needed the second covenant. That's why we needed the new covenant. Going back now to Hebrews chapter 8. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. And then he goes on further to close with this, and he says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. That is the beauty of the new covenant. That is why living under this new covenant is so important, because under this new covenant, our sins are washed away completely and they're not going to be remembered ever again. Aren't you glad of that? Every single sin in your life that is going to be forgiven by God is going to be forgiven by this sacrifice. All of your sins forgiven, and you standing before God blameless and holy. Have you ever thought about that? Me? Before God, who is holy, holy, holy? Me standing before Him blameless? When I think of that, folks, my thought is, you got to be kidding. Me? And the answer is yes. Wow. That's what this is all about. For me, for you. So that that could be so. So that our sins would be remembered no more. They're gone. Folks, that's the beauty of the new covenant. That's the covenant in which we live. And this covenant was sealed and brought into force by the blood of the Christ at Calvary. Hebrews 10 now, verse 29. He talks about counting the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing. Let's go back to Hebrews 10 and 10 earlier. You remember this? By that will, he has been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now notice this. What does verse 10 talk about? How you've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. What is verse 29 of Hebrews 10 talking about? The blood of the covenant. The blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified. What I'm trying to bring to your attention is Hebrews 10 is talking about the Lord's Supper at the Lord's table on the Lord's day. And so when he says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, folks, this is exactly what he's talking about. Them assembling together in one place on the Lord's day to take the Lord's Supper. To focus their minds on the body of Christ that was scourged and beaten and nailed to the cross. To focus their minds on the blood of Jesus when he was scourged and beaten and nailed to the cross and had a spear thrust through his side. So that we can hear the love of God for us and come to understand the magnitude of the sacrifice it took so I could have my foolish sins forgiven. Wow. What a God we serve. What a King we serve. But notice both of these now. It's the body that sanctifies and the blood that sanctifies. They separate us from the world. You remember going back to Exodus 12? Here you got the entire land of Egypt. And there's going to be death, the death of the firstborn in all the families of the entire land. What is it that separated them to where the death did not take place in some people's houses, but in the entire rest of the land of Egypt, there's death in every house? What separated them? The blood of the Lamb. They had the blood of the Lamb without blemish on their doorpost. Folks, we want to be washed in the blood, hide in the blood, covered in the blood, because that's the only way we can have our sins removed by the blood. It's for the remission of sins, so we can be sanctified. So when the wrath of God does come, and it is coming, it won't come on you, because you're in the blood. Remember what it says over in Revelation 7? They washed the robes, made them white, in the blood of the Lamb. That's how you're going to be able to stand before Him that day. White, blameless, sinless. The blood of the Lamb without blemish. The Christ. Hebrews now, chapter 9, 22 through 24. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, for without shedding of blood, there is no remission. It goes on further and says in 23 through 24, therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Now think about this for a moment. You think about all the animals that were sacrificed under the old covenant. How many centuries did that covenant exist? How many millions of animals, of goats and bulls and sheep and oxen, how many animals do you think were sacrificed for the sins of men? Never took away one sin. Not one. There's only one thing in the entire universe that can take away the sin off of a human being's soul. And that is the blood of our King and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It says, for Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. You see the high priest going into the Holy of Holies once a year. First, he would offer sacrifices for himself, and then he would offer sacrifices for the sin of the people, the Day of Atonement. All of that was a foreshadowing of the big event that was actually going to take place in history when Jesus was going to go into heaven itself, into the presence of God Almighty Himself with the blood of Christ, with His own blood. Look at the text here. Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands. He didn't go into the Holy of Holies over in Jerusalem, in the temple there. It's just a copy of the true, folks. Where is the true? It's in the heaven itself. To appear where? In the presence of God for us. Folks, this happened. Continuing further in Hebrews 9 and 12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. One sacrifice for all time, for all sins that are ever going to be forgiven. Every sin that is going to be forgiven by God is going to be forgiven by this sacrifice and no other sacrifice. Now going back to 1 Corinthians 10 and 16. The cup of the blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Remember I was telling you earlier back there in Exodus 12? All of those houses that had the blood of the Lamb without blemish on their doorposts and around their doors, when he saw that blood, he passed over them. The blood of Christ binds all of those that are sanctified and separated from the lost that are saved in the kingdom in the body of Christ. We are all bound together and forgiven by the blood of Christ. But look at the last part of this. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? This is where folks get the idea that chapter 11 is talking about the church. Because here it is. One body is the church. We're talking about the communion, the binding together of the one body. This is what I was trying to teach you last week. There is a universal aspect of the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is dealing with the planet rotating one time. And so that encompasses the whole planet, folks. And so what we're talking about here is all of those that are in the one body are all bound together by this. They're all sanctified. They're all separated to where the wrath of God is not going to come upon you because you got the blood on you. You need to understand that. It's the blood of the new covenant. It was the blood that was shed for the remission of sins so our sins could be forgiven so that we would not have the wrath of God come upon us that is indeed coming upon all mankind. Matthew says in 26 now, 28, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Notice that phrase, for the remission of sins, because you see it again over in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The phrases are exactly the same, for the remission of sins. The sacrifice that was made at Calvary is what makes Acts chapter 2, verse 38 possible. When you obey the gospel and you confess your faith and you repent of your sins and you are baptized into Christ, when you are baptized, every single sin in your life in the past is washed away. That is the beauty of Christianity, folks. That's the power of the blood of the Christ. After you become a Christian, your sins that are going to be forgiven, when you take them to God and confess them to Him and repent of them, every sin that's going to be forgiven in your life to where you can stand before God blameless and holy, every sin that's going to be forgiven is going to be forgiven by this blood. The blood of the new covenant that is shed for the remission of sins. That's my sins. That's your sins. I have it on the outline, so I'm going to go ahead and read it. Hebrews 10:29. How much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy, who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? We looked at part of that verse earlier. When you forsake the assembling of the saints together, you're forsaking the Lord's Supper at the Lord's table and the Lord's day. Because that's the central part of our worship. And the central part of our worship is meant to focus our mind and remember the body of the Christ that is broken for you. The blood of the Christ that was pierced and shed and went everywhere when he was scourged and beaten and crucified. Focus your mind on the body. Focus your mind on the blood. Realizing this is the only way our sins can be forgiven. And we can know the blessings and the benefit of living under this new covenant. Folks, I intend on going to heaven. I hope to see all of you there. Because everyone that's going to be there is going to be there because of the love of God and the love of Jesus and Christ crucified. And the body of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus. That's why we take the Lord's Supper, to proclaim his death till he comes again, realizing he's coming again. And when he's coming again, it's going to be judgment day. And whether you like it or not, you are going to stand before God in judgment. You are going to give account of your actions. And if they have not been forgiven, you are going to hell, end of subject. That's reality, whether you like it or believe it or not. I recommend you learn reality and believe it and live according to it. Because if there is sin between you and your God and you're not dealing with it, it's on your head. He loves you. He's made the sacrifice. If you don't make it to heaven, it's not God's fault. If there's sin between you and your God, deal with it. It can be forgiven. Seize it. And thank God for making it possible so your sins could be forgiven. If you're not in Christ, get in Christ, because that's the only place salvation can be found. You have to be baptized into his death where the blood is, folks. And when you're in Christ and you're baptized into his death, You are washing your soul of all sin. When you are washed in baptism, that's how you come in contact with the blood, folks. Washing away all sin. Remission of sin. Not in the water, folks. In the blood. If you're in Christ already, and there's sin between you and God, why are you not dealing with it? He loves you. He wants you in heaven. Deal with the sin. Go straight into it. Confess it to him and turn from it. The blood of Christ is there for you. God wants you in heaven with him, folks. Please know that. God loves you. He loves you so much. Jesus loves you. Everything he went through is because he loves you. And as I told you, the Lord's Supper is God crying out to all mankind as loudly as he can, I love you. Hear his cry of love. See the sacrifice of love and respond to it by faith. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song that has been selected.